Monica Ng has been reporting on that for Axios Chicago. Thanks for coming back on, Monica. How are you today?
I'm all right. How are you, Lisa?
Good. And you're covering, you know, I just gave stats for Illinois, but you're talking about Ohio and Iowa and Minnesota. What is the status right now with the new tariffs on Mexico and Canada and China? And will they really go into effect on April 2nd, or will they be rolled back as suggested?
Well, I mean, that is the huge question, and it's, you know, it's a billion-dollar question for Midwest farmers who are waiting on pins and needles and who were really upset this week when it, you know, when President Trump insisted that he was going to go through with these tariffs, raising the tariffs on China and then doing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, really integral partners for Midwest farmers when it comes to getting potash from Canada for their fertilizer, but also exporting corn and soy to China and Mexico. I mean, these are, this is not insignificant for their lives and their livelihood.
Yeah, in your article, you published that Illinois is the nation's third largest agricultural exporter, registering $13.7 billion in agricultural trade in 2023, and that is led by sales of corn, soy, and pork. Of course, I'm married to a corn and soybean farmer, and he had a meeting last week with a bunch of farmers and came home, and it just seemed to be gloom and doom.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you never know what President Trump is going to do, but he was insisting that these were going to go forward. And what they told me was that, you know, originally when they had been delayed back in January or February, that they were like, okay, it's a lot of bluster. He's using it as a negotiation tactic. There's no way he's going to go through with the Mexican and Canadian tariffs because it would just be way too damaging. And then when he insisted that he would, they were just like, this is terrible. They said that even if he negotiated the deal that he wanted, it wouldn't help farmers significantly at all. I mean, it's, presumably it was about border crossings and fentanyl, the reason why he was going to cut off these super important markets for agriculture was to get a better deal on fentanyl and border crossings. And, you know, some data suggests that there's really not much fentanyl coming at all from Canada.
Yeah, like 1 or 2%, if that, and potash really is needed. That's primarily where we get it for U.S. farms, right?
Right, for the fertilizer. And so the farmers were telling me, we're being hit on what are called the inputs, and so you need fertilizer, that's the input to grow it, and then we're being hit on the outputs where no one's going to want to buy our corn and soy if it has these huge taxes on them. And as happened in 2018 and 2019, they're afraid that China is going to turn to South America, Argentina and Brazil, and say, okay, we're going to get all our stuff from them because you guys are way too volatile. He said that they've worked so hard to reestablish those relationships since Trump's last trade war, and to lose them now again would be devastating.
I see in your article on Axios.com, this is Monica Ng, by the way, you talked to Brady Holst, who's the Market Development Committee Chair for the Illinois Soybean Association. He's from Augusta. My husband probably farms maybe 5 miles from there, so I know many farmers in that area. And he was talking about what happened in 2019, and that's the concern.
Yeah, I mean, you know, President Trump says that he's going to, you know, get a lot of money in tariffs, and we all know that tariffs end up going to the consumer. They end up, well, you know, preventing people from wanting to buy it, but then also the consumer pays for it. But he said he'd get a lot of money from China, let's say, on these things. But last time, that all ended up having to go into subsidies for farmers. And they tell me, yeah, great. Well, we get this handout because we can't sell it, but we would much rather sell the product that we worked so hard to grow than get subsidies. It just doesn't make any sense. And so I can imagine they were incredibly relieved when another 1 month reprieve was put into place yesterday.
Yeah, it's a difficult time. That's for certain. And, you know, most of these farmers, if you look at the statistics, they predominantly supported and voted for President Trump. Did you ask them about that, about how they feel about the impact, or when he said at his address to Congress the other night, his last remark to farmers was, have fun? I don't even know what that meant. I was watching it, and I was sitting with a farmer whose head was in his hands reading the paper, like the farm report, and he didn't even lift his head for that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much fun you can have while you're watching your prospects for selling your crop this year go down the drain. I asked them about that. I said, you know, a recent Brookings report showed that the rural counties that voted for Donald Trump are those who are most likely to be hurt by the tariffs. And what the farmers told me was that they did not anticipate he'd go through with this. They thought it would be all bluster. They did anticipate China, and they said they done some preparation for that, but they did not think it would go through with Canada and Mexico. But as we were talking on that day, it definitely looked like it was going to go through, and they really, really hope that this will be sorted out in a month.
Well, let's hope that it is all bluster. I guess we'll find out between now and April 2nd, right?
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining us, Monica.
Thank you, Lisa. Take care.